had an interesting thing happen. You know, when you go to preach, it pays to seek God. What do I share? And the Lord said to me, just share out of the treasures of your heart. And I thought, whoa, that's interesting. And then this morning, my son popped in briefly, and I said to him, I'm trying to prepare a message, and I'm not sure what to share. And he said, why don't you just share out of the treasures of your heart? And I thought, whoa, hallelujah. So a few things to share. Just for a start, the Lord's really stirred me up in the area of word and knowledge. I had something happen. I'm not going to share it with you, but had something happen the other night, and the Lord came and spoke to me about a few things. But just I really feel today to be quite stirred up in this service. I want to make a lot of room for the Holy Spirit to move, because I feel it's a time of refreshing. So I will bring some word, but I feel there's somebody here with a lower back issue and need some prayer. If that person would like to come up, yeah. And I have got some oil, and we have a couple of folks. Perhaps Tony, could you? We'll pray for. Just come over here.
You pray.
Receive something of the Spirit yourself. Tony's laughing away there. I'd like to share. I'd like to share a bit of scripture. I was thinking of sharing pretty much on a Christmas theme, since we have the parade today. But the Lord led me to some scripture here, and it's from Luke. Where are we? Luke chapter 4, and it's after Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. It says in verse 16, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as is his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up and read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, and he gave it to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all who bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is this not Joseph's son? So that really was after he came out of the desert and defeated the devil. Was tempted of the devil, and he said, it is written many times, he said, the devil, and they had this discourse. And then Jesus came out, and he was really declaring why he had been sent. It was the start of his ministry. And I think it's fantastic. I'd like to read this just down in my little commentary here. Jesus stopped reading from Isaiah 61 in the middle of verse 2. So if we can just read Isaiah 61 and verse 2. I had it all set up here, but my little bookmark thing has fallen out when I put the book up, so I won't be second. Isaiah 61, and of course this was written some time before Jesus was born. In case you don't know, we're talking something like 1500 years, I think it was. And that's what Jesus was quoting from when he took those scrolls synagogue. Now, it was quite a privilege to be asked to read from those scrolls in the synagogue. One of the things I noticed in my little margin there that I'm about to read you is that when in the synagogue, the tradition, tremendous amount of tradition, when the person would read from the scriptures, they would be standing, but when they were teaching from the scriptures, they would be seated. And it's interesting that he sat down. Sorry, I've completely lost my... I'll just grab my little notes here. Always handy to have notes. Yeah, here we are. Acceptable the year of the Lord. Sure I had it. Pastor, is that it? Ah, that's another one. That's a separate one. We got lots of notes. Has anybody got it? Acceptable year of the Lord. I can quickly flick back to the cross reference. That's it. Thank you. That's it. Can you read the next verse as well? Praise God. So let's just go back to Luke 4. So we often wonder about the will of God. I often, this year I've been thinking a lot about the will of God. What is the will of God? Because it was drawn to my attention that we have our will, but the Lord's Prayer says that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not about our will. And even when we pray, sometimes it's quite easy, and I've done it myself, to flick into praying for my will and not his will. And I've been really checking myself on this year. And when we look at what Jesus says here, he tells us why he has come to earth and why he came to earth. The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I did read and hear recently somewhere where the definition of a Christian is little Christ. And then, of course, when I looked it up, I also saw that it means to be a follower of Christ. But I quite like the idea that we're all little Christs on the earth. And I think that's a fairly accurate definition of a Christian. So if we're little Christs, and if we're anointed of the Holy Spirit, which I believe we are, and if we're filled with the Spirit, we should also be following what Jesus came to do. And it says that he came to preach the gospel to the poor. Now that's important, that we take the gospel to the poor. We're going out there today, but you know, we know that everybody in New Zealand is reasonably, there's a few poor but and struggling, but we know that people are reasonably well off in comparison with, say, the back of the Philippines or some of these countries where there is real poverty. But a lot of people, when he said he's come to preach the gospel to the poor, he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he also was talking about the poor in spirit. And you know, you can take a multi-billionaire. I met a friend, became a friend, who was a billionaire, but very poor in spirit. And he worked in the White House with presidents, met him down in Queenstown. There's a house down there, he loves Queenstown. But you know, when I got to know him a bit, you know, very poor in spirit. I think he had his own Learjet. He didn't take me for a ride in it, but he brought me an ice cream, so that was pretty cool. So, and he was head of security for the presidents down there, and he started a security firm, sold it, got $1.1 billion for it. So, but you know, people, even though they're rich, they can be very, very poor. It says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh man, there is a lot of broken-hearted people in the world today. The world is absolutely full of them, and Jesus said that that's why he came, to heal the broken-hearted. So that's what we've got to do too. We've got to go to the broken-hearted and try and bring something of that healing of Christ to the broken-hearted. I was thinking this morning of the fires in California And they are really having it tough over there again. So I saw one interview where somebody's house was burnt down and they had only just moved from another area where they'd lost their house and everything. And they'd gone to this other area and again their house, the second time round. You know, that's an absolute heartbreak to have to see that happen, I mean, once in a lifetime, let alone twice. But there are a lot of broken-hearted people out there. Some of them are bereaved. Some of them have suffered, you know, just disappointments, knockbacks, broken marriages, so many. I mean, the list goes on and on. I don't want you to get depressed. But a lot of broken-hearted people. And a broken heart is a very real thing. There's a lot of people that their spouse passes. I think there was a case in Otaki not so long ago, about 9 months ago, where a spouse passed, and within about 6 hours, the other spouse passed, broken heart. And it's a very, very real condition, a broken heart. So Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And I know when I came to Jesus in 1980, there was a few issues going on in my life and a bit of a broken heart there. And God really healed that broken heart. So he came to heal the brokenhearted. So let's keep in mind that when we're dealing with people, sometimes you meet people and you think, what on earth's wrong with him? You know, like, come on. You know, I mean, the world tends to look at people and go, come on, get your act together. Get a grip, man. What's the matter with you? But you don't know what's going on in their heart. And some people are really suffering. So if we can, we need to try to minister that love of God and see the brokenhearted healed. To proclaim liberty to the captives. And we know that captives, there's many different ways that people can be caught captive. Of course, one of the most common ways they're caught captive in their sin and they can't break free, or they feel they can't break free, they can't get forgiveness. So we are here to proclaim, and as we go down today in the parade, you know, we're pointing, certainly pointing the direction towards somebody who can set them free. And then, of course, we have many addictions in society, and the list is quite considerably long, so won't go through any specific list, but there are a lot of people addicted in our society, and they're captive to that one thing, whether it be a pack of cards or a game of poker or whatever it is. And there are many, many things that keeping people addicted and captive that that Jesus wants to set them free from. It's not us that wants to set them free. Well, we do want to set them free. We want to be part of it. But what we want to do is refer them to the life giver who really will give them freedom. And so this is important, the recovery of the sight to the blind. Of course, Jesus can heal the blind. And we know that we have seen this. Some of us have actually seen it happen. I was very privileged to go away with the late Western Carrier. And when I was in the Philippines, I saw a lot of blind eyes open up there when we were praying for them. And boy, that is something special. But as well as people being blind in the physical sense, they can be blind spiritually, which is probably even a greater concern, I believe, to Jesus. And it should be a great concern to us that people are blind spiritually. Sometimes you share things with people and they just don't get it. They just don't understand. Because what happens is that God has, it's almost like they have scales on their eyes. And sometimes we have to pray that spiritual blindness, that those scales will fall off. And then sometimes you'll start to pray, and I don't know, many of you have seen this because we have a lot of, quite a strong prayer group here, that people are praying, and then all of a sudden this person will come and say, oh, you know, I read a scripture and it started to make sense. A flatmate of mine, when I became a Christian in 1980, I had a flatmate. I was in a boozy flat down in Dunedin. This was prior to becoming a Christian. I got out of there after I became a Christian. But a flatmate came up to me, and he was really intelligent. He was studying to be a doctor or something at university. And he said, I saw this sign outside this church and it said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That man couldn't work out what that meant. We know what it means. And, you know, quite frankly, I was a little bit, because I just started to read the Bible, I was a bit confused as well. And yet it's so simple. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, the reason I believe my friend Pete, he couldn't work that out, was because spiritual blindness. But Jesus says he comes, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Oppression is another thing that Jesus comes to set us free from, and it's something else that we can take out a lot of oppressed people out there in the world, the sex trade and goodness knows what, just so many oppressed people, millions of them, millions. You know, not just hundreds of thousands, millions of oppressed people, millions of spiritually blind, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, that is so exciting when Jesus, said that. So what is the acceptable year of the Lord? It's the year when he shows his favor, his goodwill, and it's the year of the Lord's good pleasure. And that started when Jesus stood up and he proclaimed that this is the acceptable year of the Lord, because he was and there the Messiah who has come, who was promised in Isaiah to bring the acceptable year of the Lord. And I just think that's such an exciting scripture. And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. Now it's interesting, when he sat down, when he was standing, he was doing what the tradition said, and that was to stand and preach the scriptures. But when he sat down, he was then teaching. And so when he sat down, he began to say to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." I think it is significant. Down here, it says in my margin, "The acceptable year of the Lord," because this is exactly what his preaching proclaimed. The seasons of God's grace had come to the Messiah's ministry. The very next phrase in Isaiah 61:2, which Jesus did not read, is "the day of vengeance of our God." This refers to the second coming of Christ and his judgment of the world, Revelations 19:11-21. Thus Jesus read in the synagogue the part of Isaiah 61:1-2 that was the beginning being fulfilled at that time, but he held off reading the portion that would not be fulfilled until the time of judgment. So isn't that interesting? So he was reading what was being fulfilled. I think it's just fantastic. I've got a few more words of knowledge, and I just would like to bring that and just give a little bit of free rein for the Holy Spirit. We've had a few people prayed for. But some of these words of knowledge, a little bit unusual, but not unusual, in a sense that God wants to do his people good. I believe that he is... He's shown me a couple of things here. So I've written them down. And I believe there's a few people that have suffered migraines. God has shown me a couple of people with migraines. He wants to touch, and I'd like you to come up and we'll pray for you. I believe there is one person who has a fear of cancer. And this one is really unusual, but you know, it came to me the other night after a real visitation from the Lord. So we're not going to embarrass anybody, because if you do come up, we'll just get everybody to come up and respond, and we'll pray. Pastor Tony and me will pray for you. But somebody has, or maybe a few people, problems with biting their fingernails, and so a little bit unusual. But God wants to help you with that. You know, it's quite funny with issues. Sometimes we have issues in our life that seem pretty minor. But to us, who've got the issue, I had a major problem with eating pies. Where's Katrina? Oh, she's not here, that's all right. Sponge Bakery. And, you know, it was like an addiction. I was eating a pie a day, and I got to the point where I was eating two pies a day, and I knew it was really, really getting out of hand. It wasn't getting out of hand because there's nothing... I mean, it's not bad to have a pie now and then. I'm not condemning anybody. But it was out of hand with me because I couldn't stop, because I decided I was going to cut it down, and that's an addiction... is when that thing is ruling over your spirit. When that thing is taking over, and you say, "I'm going to stop this," and you find yourself reaching that hot cabinet at the sponge. No, we won't say the sponge. It could be anywhere. But God gave me a dream, and I'm not going to tell you what was in the dream, but I prayed, and I said, "God, I need to be set free of this." And God gave me a dream, and I know it sounds like a stupid issue, but, you know, God set me free of that in a dream. I won't tell you what the dream was, because you'll probably never eat a pie again, because that's what happened. Was after that dream, I've never been able to eat a pie again. And that's going back 11, 12 months ago. And I love pies. So he set me free. And that's what he does. And that's what he says here. He comes to set captives free. And whatever it is, if it's holding you captive. So if that fingernail biting thing is for you, you don't need to tell us, but we will pray for you. People with migraines, one person, fear of cancer. And also, if you have a fear of witnessing, I believe the Lord's shown me there's a few folks here, they just find it hard. You know, sometimes I find it hard. I'm pretty bold. But sometimes I still find it hard. And so if you find that hard, I want you to come up today. We're going to pray for you and get you free of that. And believe that God will impart a boldness to you. So we'll just have another little time here. And also a time of refreshing in the Holy Spirit. If you just want to be refreshed, just refreshing. There was such a presence of the Spirit this morning. And Pastor Tony was saying, you know, there's healing here. And Margaret and you guys were singing the Holy Spirit. You were singing that song, what was that? Come, Holy Spirit. Boy, the presence of the Spirit, and the Spirit is still here, and that's for refreshing. So if any of those that I've named, you want to come up for prayer, just come forward. People with migraines, any fear of cancer, probably the nail-biting thing, and a fear to witness or be bold, or if you just want a fresh touch from the Spirit, come up today. Perhaps, Margaret, could you come and sing that song while we pray for the folks? And then I think we might be just about done.